Good morning. Welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's great to have all of you. It's certainly a full Sunday for us today. Within this service of worship, we will ordain and install a new class of officers here, the officers of the class of 2018. And then following this service of worship, there is a Honduran feast. The mission team, the seven folks that went to Honduras this past January, are going to present on their trip to Honduras, and we're going to have a lunch that is Honduran themed as well, that's being cooked right now. Many of you RSVP'd, and we are so grateful. That helped us get a sense for numbers. They're definitely making some extras, so if you didn't and you want to jump in on that, please head on down to the fellowship hall afterwards, and there should be enough for you as well. This coming week, a couple things to know about. Wednesday night, we had to miss this past one because the snow in the parking lot was still giving us trouble, but we're back on this Wednesday. Wednesday night supper, we have Reverend Dr. Brian Blunt, president of Union Presbyterian Seminary. He will be speaking. He'll be with us presenting on his recent book, and look forward to sharing in that with him. And then next Sunday, February 7th, immediately following the service of worship, we have our annual congregational meeting to present the budget and approve the terms of call for me. A couple other things coming up down the road, a little further. Many of you have been asking, is there anything we can do with this huge refugee crisis in the world? It seems overwhelming, but I know it's a big deal, and I want to help. We have actually a neat opportunity on Tuesday, February 9th at 6 o'clock in the Grace Bible Classroom, second floor. We're having Church World Service come in, and they're going to talk about how you can be hospitable to a group of refugees that are coming from Iraq and Afghanistan this February to Richmond. And if that's a ministry that sparks your interest, you can go to that meeting, find out more. There's details in your bulletin. Finally, if for those of you interested in becoming new members or just interested in learning more about the church, you're not even sure about membership, the next new members class is on Sunday, February 21st, and you can see details about that in your bulletin. I invite you now to stand wherever you are and greet some of the folks around you. Invite you to begin finding your seats once more. Together we will go before our God, quieting our hearts, our minds, and allowing ourselves to worship freely and worship fully.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Thank you.
please stand for the call to worship? There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Christ appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Christ did this to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and for serving a broken world. We come together in oneness of faith and in certain knowledge of the Son of God. We come to bring glory to God only and to celebrate God's gracious gifts to all of us. In this spirit of unity and service, let us worship God.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This Sunday marks the beginning of our 93rd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4774. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled Lean In, will be delivered by the Reverend Mr. Holm Lippert. Assisting in the service today are Christopher Martin, our Director of Music and Organist, the Chancel Choir, the Handbell Choir, Church Member Sandra Boisaw, and Seminary Intern Lauren Boyles. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, which is number 466 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
Christ's blood can make the sinful clean. We come into this space of confession, trusting what Christ's blood can and does, in fact, do. Mighty and merciful God, you have called us to be your people and claimed us for the service of Jesus Christ. We confess that we have not lived up to our calling. We have been timid disciples, forgetting the power of your love and the strength of your Spirit among us. O God, forgive our errant ways. As you have chosen us and claimed us in our baptism, strengthen us anew to choose Christ's way in the world. Give us your Holy Spirit, that each one in ministry may be provided with all the gifts of grace needed to fulfill our common calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The truth this day in which we stand is that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven, and in Christ Jesus we are made new. In fact, Scripture assures us that we have the spirit of timidity and weakness we have has been replaced by a spirit of boldness, of power, and of self-discipline. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd invite any of our children who are 6 years and younger and would like to, you may join Mrs. Leah Tweel. She'll be taking the children out for a children's chapel, and then parents, you can pick them, your children up outside the sanctuary when the service is over.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may your Holy Spirit give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know the hope to which Christ has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among us, and the greatness of his power for those who believe. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 19 through 25. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of demanding a king for ourselves." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside after useless things that cannot profit or save, for they are useless. For the Lord will not cast away his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." The word of the Lord.
For the month of January and on into February and March and right up to Easter, we are doing a sermon series looking at prayer. The role of prayer, what is prayer, how does Scripture teach us about prayer, why is it such a vital, essential aspect of the Christian life? And today we've heard an Old Testament passage where certainly Prophet Samuel mentioned prayer and what he had to tell the people. And here our New Testament passage, Mark chapter 1, we get to see Jesus in prayer. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The 20th century Catholic priest and author Henry Nouwen, he wrote a very short book that has become something of a classic. It's called In the Name of Jesus, Reflections on Christian Leadership. And in it, he asks, what makes for great leaders, people of great influence, in particular, Christian leaders, followers of Jesus who lead in this world. And he had this to say in a chapter entirely devoted to the importance of prayer in leadership. He said, "It is not enough to be moral people, well-trained, eager to help their fellow humans, able to respond creatively to the burning issues of their time. All that's very valuable, but it's not the heart of Christian leadership. The central question is, are the leaders of the future truly men and women of God, people with an ardent desire to dwell in God's presence, to listen to God's voice, to look at God's beauty, to touch God's incarnate word, and to taste fully God's infinite goodness. In short, the central question is, are leaders eager to pray, to abide in Christ as Christ abides in them? Do leaders seek with all their heart, soul, body, and mind to drink from living water? This morning, we are just a month into our 101st year of this congregation's existence, and we're ordaining and installing a new class of officers, of leaders. And both of our scriptures echo Naaman's assertion about the priority of prayer. The prophet Samuel heard declares, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." It's not just a good idea to pray, but in fact, it would be a sin not to do so, particularly for those in leadership entrusted with the care of a people. And then right at the outside of Jesus' ministry, the Gospel of Mark, we heard, in the morning, it's still very dark, Jesus goes to a deserted place, and there he prays. And this we see a number of times in Jesus' ministry, going away to pray by himself, with disciples. The fact that we're told that it's dark and deserted helps underscore the fact that this is something focused and intentional. And maybe we wonder, well, what did he pray? Did he speak? Did he listen? Both? Did he use certain parts of Scripture to help him? And we're not told. Certainly elsewhere in the Gospels, we're told Jesus gives us some words to pray, and there are some places we hear Jesus pray aloud, but many of those times we just hear that Jesus prayed. As if the point were not what he said or what he heard, the point was the dependency, the routine willingness to lean into God and submit. And it makes all the difference. In his book, A Geography of Grace, the longtime Presbyterian minister Michael Linville, he tells the story of his friend, Pastor Fuad Banan, an Arab Christian who was in 1983 the pastor of a church located in West Beirut, Lebanon, where that church was a distinct minority, with most folks in the area being Muslim. And at that time, rumors began circulating that the Israeli army, which was on the move and trying to track down Palestinian fighters, that they were going to advance all the way into Beirut, Lebanon, to catch some of these Palestinian fighters who were hiding out there. And what they were going to do is attempt to starve out the fighters. They were going to close off the city from food. That rumor in the air, Pastor Bonin's church members, they start collecting large quantities of non-perishable food items in preparation for this possible siege. And the siege does come. So the session of Pastor Bonin's church, they meet to make a plan about how then all this food the members have collected will be distributed. Meeting went on for 6 hours, very contentious over what came down to essentially two motions. The first motion laid out the plan. First, we need to distribute the food to the members of the church and then to other non-member Christians in our area of the city, and then if there's any less left, to our Muslim neighbors in the area. The second was the inverse of the first. First, let's give the food to the nearby Muslim neighbors. Second, we'll give it to the nearby Christians who are not members. And then if there's any left over, to the members of the church. You can imagine the points being made on both sides, back and forth. The meeting took this unexpected turn when a longtime elder, who was normally very quiet but very well respected for her prayerful heart, she stood up and said quite strongly, "You hypocrites, if we do not demonstrate the love of Christ in this place, who will?" And the second motion passed. Pastor Bonin would later say how things went from there. One, he said it turned out there was enough food for everybody. And two, he said the Muslim community could not stop talking about that gesture for years. But of course, it meant stepping in utterly the opposite direction one would expect. I mean, it began when a voice rooted in prayer spoke. Precisely what's unfolding in Mark chapter 1. You see, Jesus is praying. He's living into that oneness that elsewhere he speaks about in Scripture that he and the Father have. And it's during prayer that he's approached by Simon and his companions, and they tell him, everybody's looking for you. Implied in their statement is they want Jesus to go back to the town where he's just done a bunch of healings. You can read about it right before our passage today. And do more. It makes sense. Folks loved him there. Guaranteed welcome, success. Hey, there's more work to do. And leaders in the church, and really leaders in any realm of society, you know exactly how this goes. There are always folks with ideas on where we should be focused. There's always someone who says, we need to be putting out that fire. We need to be dealing with that issue. There's always some great event in the past we should be doing again. It was a great success. Always some golden era we just need to get back to. Jesus, back this way. Everybody's looking for you. But Jesus has been in prayer. His vision is attuned to God's vision. He's not looking to people please, not looking where he may or may not get the most applause. He's simply looking to God please, which means loving some neighbors over in the next town. And so Jesus responds by saying, actually, we're headed in the opposite direction from where to a place where we've never gone. Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do. And in verse 39, we read, he goes, he preaches, he casts out demons in these towns. When I hear Jesus confront his followers this way, it reminds me of a quote from the former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple. He said, the church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members. We're headed over to the neighboring town who don't even know me yet. That's why I came. And for Jesus, I think there's a direct relationship between the prayer he does before the sun rises and the acts of power that unfold in the light of day. It's not an accident that prayer in the dark and casting out demons by day sit in the same small portion of Scripture together. Because leaning into prayer means leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit, who always does far more than we could ever ask or imagine. At least that's the promise of Scripture, if we believe it. Leaning into prayer always means leaning into the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Leaning into prayer means leaning into God's will and finding the strength and wisdom to stand and say such things like, if we don't demonstrate the love of Christ in this place, who will? Henry Nouwen, he makes it clear, the future leader of the church is the one who leans in total dependency on Jesus, who himself is life, who himself is love, because from that total dependency springs forth the kind of bold love that feeds this world. The gospel, the good news, finds fruition in the soil of prayer. But as we look at this short passage from Mark, I think then we need to assess, well, what about us? Where are we today? Where are we this morning? As individuals, as a church, are we more like Simon and these followers of Jesus? We're trying to pull Jesus back and essentially kind of do things our way. Or do we place ourselves more readily alongside or even in Christ, leaning forward and toward whatever God may have for us, our family, our church, our call? I was thinking about this question a few days back as I was staring out at the snow, all the snow that we have gotten in recent days. As I watched that snowfall, I thought back to my first attempts at skiing. Growing up in Ohio, I never skied, wasn't on the radar. But when I married Michelle, I also married into a family tradition of skiing together every winter. And I will say, for the first 3 or 4 years of this, I did not like the tradition one bit. I found myself on nearly impossibly slanted slopes and genuinely terrified of the Utah mountain terrain. But soon enough, I quickly settled into what became the most natural response my body had to these huge slopes. I would lean back into my ski boots and essentially break the entire way down the mountain. You all have done this, right? Some of you. My quad muscles will be visibly shaking by the end of the day with pain because I had spent my entire day leaning backwards. I did not like any of this. And I remember distinctly one day my legs had grown so tired that I had nothing left to stop myself as I was ending the run. And so I'm barreling towards this kid. And at the last second, I just baseball slide right into the guy, and he flies over my head. And fortunately, he's perfectly fine. And so it's a little bit humorous to think about it now. But seeing that actually I'm becoming a danger to those around me, I got ski lessons for the first time. Now, I'll never forget the first lesson this instructor gives me, the first thing she says as she watches my breaking form. She says, "You know, you're not actually skiing." I'm like, "I'm actually trying really hard." You don't want to lean back into your boots and break the whole time. You actually want your legs to lean forward. And this shocked me. I said, "But I'll fall." And then she explained that there's this essential, almost imperceptible shift that needs to take place inside my ski boots. And until I can press my legs to the front of the boots, I really won't be skiing. "Trying to be in control takes a lot of energy. You need to lean in," she said. And I wonder if some of us lean back quite a bit in the life of faith. We try to stay in control, and we can hardly help it. It's almost natural. So we try to be good people, good church people, good leaders, good spouses, good neighbors, good citizens. With every ounce of our wherewithal, we rely on our strength, our money, our ingenuity, our efficiency. We throw a prayer on top to sort of baptize our strength. And you know, if you're one who does a lot of breaking down the mountain, because quite frankly, too often you're just exhausted. And soon enough, that actually makes you a danger to those around you. Spiritually tired people have nothing to give, and the tiredness and the deadness, it spreads. And perhaps it hits us in these moments where our legs are burning from trying so hard and the weariness is overwhelming that we confess, "Maybe I haven't been skiing at all." Because the life of faith is one enjoined to the posture of Jesus Christ. The life of faith is lived leaning in. This is not natural. We need a coach. We need an advocate to nudge us that direction. And perhaps this morning, the Holy Spirit is nudging you to let go of the control and make that essential, almost imperceptible shift inside your heart and lean forward into a dependence on our loving God, no matter what happens or what the next town may be. And if you've ever leaned in, you know how the gravity of grace begins to pull you across terrifying terrains and directions and speeds you once thought foolish, you once thought impossible. But of course, you've leaned into the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the very power that assures us that death will not hold us either. And so this morning, may we, the church, lean in to know this gift of grace. For in 2016, we are called to respond boldly to the question that really is before every generation. If we do not demonstrate the love of Christ in this place, who will? Amen. In response to God's word, I invite you to stand as we sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated."
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled "Lean In," which was delivered by Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. The congregation will now join in singing Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, which is number 310 in the hymn book.
Together our faith and through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And now I invite you to join with me in a prayer for ourselves and for our world. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, there is much uncertainty and tribulation in our world. At this moment, our reality is permeated by war, intolerance, religious violence, and discrimination. We are blind to the wonders you work in all cultures and nations. In so doing, we hurt one another and ourselves. But we pray to you knowing that in all this, you will not abandon us. You have promised us that you will not cast us away, for you have chosen to make us whole. Holy friend, may the hearts of all those who are hurting be at peace this day. We lift up those who are homeless on these cold days in Richmond, those who have to panhandle to survive, those who do not have access to health care, employment, and other basic needs. And most of all, Creator God, we pray for the children who rely on subsidized food in our schools and who were not able to eat during the recent storm. We ask your healing hand to touch these lives and those in our society who have rendered these children of yours invisible. May we not quench your spirit as it moves among us, but may we instead follow you where you call us. May we speak in truth and in love, witnessing to your love for us in all that we do and say. We pray for our world leaders. Hold our country now, O God, as we ponder difficult decisions in the coming months. May your will and not our will be done. God of all the ages, may we not be afraid. May we instead love you and then live like it. Be our light and our salvation and guide our steps. All of our prayers find rest in you and in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In response to the grace we have known in Jesus Christ, we lean in with our whole lives, a response to such goodness, and that includes our financial resources. And so in this time of worship, you're invited to discern how is God calling us to give in response to all that God has entrusted to us. As well, you have your communication cards. I invite you to fill that out. Let us know that you're here. Please let the care team know the ways that we can be praying for you or giving thanks alongside you. And if you'd like follow-up about something about the church or our ministries, or you saw something in the bulletin where you'd like to participate, you can indicate that on the communication card and place that in the offering plate as it comes around. Invited to give as you're led.
Rejoice in the Lord, O my friend. Rejoice in the Lord, my friend. Let us
and grace that we have known in your Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks that we can rejoice and rejoice in the Lord always. Take these, our tithes and offerings, as an expression of our joy, our thanks, and we pray that these would be stewarded in a way that would further your gospel of joy among us and in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I want to invite all of those elders and deacons who are being ordained and installed today to come on forward and stand up front. It is a unique day in the life of this community that happens annually, usually in January, where a new class of leaders is brought before us and ordained and installed. These are not extra special, extra spiritual people. All of us are called to follow Jesus Christ, but they have been called for this time in the life of our church here at the 101st year of Grace Covenant to lead in a particular way. Three of them as elders leading, governing the church, and four of them as deacons serving the church, equipping the church to serve one another and the community. And so you have before you the three who are going to be our elders, Ray Davis and Bill Jacobs and Susan Bowes. And Ray and Bill here are being installed. They have been ordained previously, and Susan will be ordained and installed. As for the deacons, we have Mary Gray and Lisa Cardwell, and you two are entering into a second term of being deacons, and so you're being installed. And then we have Steve Kemp and Margaret Harvey, and these two are being ordained and installed today. So we're grateful for each of them, and in many ways, God called, laid a call out into their lives, and they have leaned in and said yes for such a time as this. And part of saying yes has involved officer training for a few weeks back in October, reading statements of faith before our current session, being examined by the session about their faith and their understanding of the Book of Confessions and the Book of Order, and now their willingness to answer these questions before each of you. And after they've answered their questions, you, the congregation, will have two to answer. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you, do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. You're also welcome to join us this Wednesday evening for Wednesday night's supper. The speaker will be the Reverend Dr. Brian Blunt, president of Union Presbyterian Seminary. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineers were Phil Coltrane, Steve Kemp, Cameron Baird, and Nate McKinnon. This service streams live at WLES590.com. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.